This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah, because if you're lukewarm, you're deceived. And Jesus said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So get red hot. It's the only game in town. It's called being one with God and not deceived. Now, we're talking this week with Sandy Toplinsky. She is a Messianic Jewish attorney that has written the most wonderful book that every Christian in America must read, must get the facts, so you'll find yourself on the right side with God. The title of the book is Why Care About Israel? And the Holy Spirit quickened a scripture to me I haven't talked about in years that I want to bring to your attention, because on yesterday's broadcast, Sandy from the book was quoting the actual history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It is so different than what most, quote, Christians even know, because we're at the mercy of the press, and the press is prejudiced. And we must know the historical facts, and it's in this book, and you must understand this. But even with the historical facts, even with them being so overpowering, the most important issue is God. What does God say about this? That's what I want to know. And in Acts, the 17th chapter, the 26th verse, did you know that God has the exact place where you should live? Listen to this. He has made every nation of men to live all over the earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. Another translation says he has the exact place that he wants you to live. But there's a cross-reference to that scripture that is so exciting. The cross-reference tells you how he determines where you should live. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8. And it says, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance and divided the human race, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the people of Israel. In other words, the boundaries of the Gentiles were contingent on the boundaries of Israel being correct. And when Israel is correct, then the nations will be correct. So what does the devil try to do? Tries to get Israel out of place to make the whole world out of place. When the Jews get in the place that God created, the whole world will be in place. Jesus will be here. And praise God, we don't have to put up with the nonsense we put up right now. Yes, he will rule from Jerusalem. Yes, he's in our heart right now, but one day he is going to rule from Jerusalem, and all of the nations are going to be in place. Now, I want to leave you with one more psalm before I get to the interview. Psalm 105 tells me God's position on the Jew in Israel. Psalm 105, verse 8 through 11. God says, he forever remembers his covenant. Now, forever is a pretty long time. The promise he ordained for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations is a pretty long time. The covenant he made with Abraham, swore to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob as a decree, and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. That's a pretty long time. Listen to the words he's using. Forever, 1,000 generations, everlasting covenant. Who is it with? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Ishmael, not their cousins, not the Arabs, with the Jews. It's everlasting, 1,000 generations, and forever. What is it? I will give the land of Canaan to you as your inherited portion. He's saying, I give the land of Israel to the descendants, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, forever, for 1,000 generations, and everlasting. And when they are in place, whoa, the whole world is going to be in place. Sandy Toplinski, on yesterday's broadcast, you did a wonderful review of the history of how we got to where we got to. But one of the things you said, which was really kind of fascinating, and that is the land that was promised to the Jewish people of Israel, because of Arab pressure, was cut down to not the 100% of the land that was offered, but just 20% went to the Jewish people because of Arab pressure. Now, of this 20%, they want to cut it down more and make a Palestinian state. And they talk about West Bank. What is the West Bank?
So the West Bank is known in the scriptures as Judea and Samaria, which has, since Bible times, been Jewish land. And, of course, today we know that there's tremendous controversy over who will occupy that land, whether it will be turned over to the Palestinians to rule or whether it will remain under Jewish control. And, you know, just in kind of picking up just a bit where we left off yesterday, this whole, the very fact that you and I are talking today about the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, is just evidence of another important historical reality, which is that the Arab nations have kept this controversy going by their own admission in order to use the Palestinian people as a pawn.
Now, since these Palestinian people, most of them, were not even born there, they came from other countries because there were the Israelis made wonderful job opportunities for them. When Jews were kicked out of the different nations and came to Israel, Israel financed them, gave them housing, fed them, medical aid, took care of them. Now, why couldn't the Arab nations, where these, quote, Palestinians really came from, they didn't come from the land of Palestine, why couldn't they do the same thing? They had more money than we Jews had.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, throughout the 20th century, there have been millions of refugees as a result of wars, you know, far greater numbers than the result of Arab refugees stemming from the Israeli War of Independence. All of those other refugees, with the exception of these Palestinians, have been resettled by now. However, despite Arab petrodollars, astronomical numbers of petrodollars, you know, in Arafat's multiple millions of dollars, that money has never been spent in order to improve the lot of the Palestinians. It has rather been spent to accommodate the rulers of these Palestinian and Arab peoples, and it's been spent for weapons with which to terrorize Israel. More than enough money has filtered into Palestinian hands to completely provide good infrastructure and housing and schools and employment opportunities. However, should that happen, then the Arab nations surrounding Israel would lose much of their impetus for calling to the world's attention a so-called need to take away land from Israel, the eventual goal of which is to completely annihilate Israel.
I know that's the goal. You know that's the goal. Anyone that reads the Quran knows that's the goal, that no one wants, on the Arab side, a Palestinian state in the area that they're talking about. What they want is a foothold into Israel to make all of Israel Palestine. How can you ever have peace if that's the objective?
Well, you can't. And that's why, despite Yasser Arafat's recent death, and despite the fact that Ariel Sharon has set in place his unilateral disengagement plan, we have statements such as one that was issued just recently by the temporary Palestinian, the guy in control right now, Mr. Abbas, who says that he will settle for nothing less than the pre-1967 borders, which means taking away about half of Israel's land. Now, the reason he's saying that is because Palestinian documents that are easily available on the internet or other sources that I mention in my book. We document this at length. Palestinian documents state over and over again that this obtaining of land in the so-called West Bank or in Gaza or East Jerusalem is intended as a pretext to become a launching pad for the soon to follow complete annihilation of the Jewish state. In other words, once they get their feet in the door.
It's a Trojan horse is what it
is. Exactly, exactly. And by their own admission, they state that.
So why does Israel go along with this? Why does the U.S. go along with this?
Well, we have to remember that, Sid, as you and I know, that Israel is primarily a nation of unregenerate, precious souls, that needs to come.
But you have to be Miss Sugar to negotiate with someone that says, I just want this as my launching path to take over all of your land.
Well, living with terror day and night, seeing your children blown to bits, not knowing, you know, when dad leaves the house in the morning, mom and the kids not knowing if he's going to return, is enough to make anybody crazy or Michigan, I think.
So why is it that I go to Paris, I go to Vienna, I go to different parts of the world, and the world hates Israel and loves the Palestinians?
Right.
I don't get it. The Palestinian terrorists are the ones that are maiming innocent men, women, and children. And the only time that happens from the Israeli side is when Israel is going after soldiers and innocent people get in the way. I mean, it's not equal weights. I don't get it, Sandy.
No, ultimately, all of this points to the existence of a devil who is intent on destroying the Jewish people because he knows that for several reasons. First of all, the Israel is the apple of God's eye. The devil hates God, and he hates who God loves, and he hates what God loves. Israel is being used as a refining tool for the bride of Christ. And so we have the devil hating Christians. The devil knows that if he can do away with Israel, he is going to do away with an essential, soon to be increasingly regrafted in portion of the body of Messiah that is essential for...
I know it's essential. Mishpocha, get her book. You need these facts to be on God's side. Why Care About Israel? Available for a donation of $15. You will not read this in newspapers. You won't even get this information in most Christian books. You need the facts. Why Care About Israel? Donation of $15.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Oh,